but it never loses its power when we experience it. And I'm thankful for that power today. Amen. Praise God. The Lord's been leading me and dealing with me on a subject for probably 6 weeks. When it came to me, it was kind of a revelation, something I'd never seen before, even though I've heard it preached and teached, and I read it many times. And that's on Psalms chapter 23. A couple weeks ago, Brother Johnstone ministered on a Wednesday night and covered half of it. So I'm going to do my best to cover the other half and talk about the other side of Psalms chapter 23. A very, very commonly talked about chapter, like I said, probably the most known chapter in Psalms, most quoted chapter in Psalms, and something that it's reassuring. It's a encouragement chapter. It's something that builds our faith, and we like to look to it and draw faith from it. I'd like to read the chapter first in the Amplified Version. Psalms chapter 23. I'd like to read it through the Amplified, and then we'll walk through it in the King James. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 in the Amplified says, "The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep and sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over." Verse 6 says, "Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place." Scripture says that we are the sheep of his pasture. We like to talk about and relate to sheep in relation to our lives here. We like to consider ourselves his sheep, as the scripture says, and look to him as our shepherd. I don't know much about sheep, to be honest with you. I've been around a lot of animals in my lifetime, but not many sheep. We had horses, goats, pigs, turkeys, chickens, ducks, rabbits, and we ate just about all of them. Well, not the horses. But never much experience around sheep. So to help me out a little bit, I went to the all-knowing internet. And, you know, there's a lot of commentaries on Psalms chapter 23, a lot of preachers and religious folk that like to give their two cents and show how it relates to things. And I tried to stay clear of that. It's like, you know, I want to, God, give me this for me. Yeah, I that's great. You know, that's awesome what God's shown them. But, Lord, just show this to me. So anyway, I came across a website. Is called Sheep 101. Very fitting. Sheep101.info. In case you're following along on your iPads. And it said, had about everything there was to know about sheep. So I started reading through it, and I was really, really shocked about some of the things in there. So I highlighted a few of the things, and I'm just going to read through here briefly, just touch the highlights. Listen closely, you might learn something. Sheep behavior. the flocking behavior. Sheep are best known for their strong flocking or herding and following instinct. They will run from what frightens them and band together in large groups for protection. There is safety in numbers. It's harder for a predator to pick out a sheep of a group than to go for a few strays. Flocking instinct varies by breed, with the fine wool breeds being the most gregarious. And I had no clue what that meant, so I looked it up, and it means sociable or outgoing. They need other like-minded animals. That means that's gregarious, just in case you didn't know. Number two, they follow the leader. When one sheep moves, the rest will follow, even if it's not a good idea. The flocking and following instinct of sheep is so strong that it caused the death of 400 sheep in 2006 in eastern Turkey. The sheep plunged to their death after one of the sheep tried to cross a 15-meter deep ravine, and the rest of the flock followed. They are social. Sheep are a very social animal. In a grazing situation, they need to see other sheep. In fact, ensuring that sheep always have visual contact with other sheep will prevent excess stress when moving or handling them. Sheep depend heavily upon their vision. At the same time, they have poor depth perception. They have their three-dimensional vision isn't very good. It goes on to say how their eyes are on the side of their heads, and their eyes, they have great vision, but it's not great to focus on in front. It's more of a being aware, situational awareness. And it says they tend to avoid shadows and sharp contrasts between light and dark. They are reluctant to go where they can't see. Changes in normal behavior can be an early sign of illness in sheep. The most obvious example of this relates to the sheep's most natural behavioral instinct, their flocking instinct. A sheep or lamb that is isolated from the rest of the flock is likely showing early signs of illness, unless it's lost. Even the last sheep through the gate should be suspected of not feeling well, especially if it is usually one of the first. Something to think when you're the last one coming through the door. All right, appetite. Appetite is another strong indicator of health. Healthy sheep are eager to eat. They're almost always hungry, and they will overeat if you let them. All right, interesting stuff. Now we're going to take another loop through Psalms chapter 23 and see if we can spot anything we haven't seen before. All right, verse 1 in the King James Version, please. The Lord is my shepherd. If you don't establish this very first part of the chapter, if you don't have this first line, the Lord is my shepherd, if that's not an understood part of your walk, then the rest of the chapter matters. To grasp the rest of this chapter, you have to understand the Lord is my shepherd. And what is the responsibilities of a shepherd? He's responsible for the flock. He's responsible for the sheep, all the sheep. He feeds them. He makes sure that they're cared for. He makes sure they're protected. He makes sure that they don't go without. Also, he has the long-term view. You think from a sheep's perspective, a sheep isn't thinking about, George, where are we going to eat tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, this is running out here. We're going to have to start looking for other places to eat pretty soon. You're eating a lot. You need to slow down. But the shepherd is thinking weeks and weeks in advance. And he's saying, once we clear this area, then we're going to go up this way. We're going to take this path and make it to this area. So the shepherd is responsible for the long-term vision of the sheep. All right. The second part of that verse, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. This is translations between the old King James and modern day English is quite different. this word want, we understand it in a lot different way today. If you read through other translations, it's speaking about need. Most of the other translations say that there's nothing else that I need. I have no need. When Old English would say want or have want of something, that means they need something. Big difference to modern day English here. Saying, if we trust the Lord, see, this is all based on trust. Being a sheep means that you're submitting yourself to be in the flock. So it's saying, all right, I trust the shepherd, so I'm going to trust that he's guiding me, he's taking care of me, and I don't have to worry about those things. I'll just go where I'm led, eat what I'm fed, and we'll just continue on. All right, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We like to see this verse, you know, it's a picturesque scene, right? It's the still waters, the green pastures. And I began to think about it from a sheep's perspective. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So right away, he's making me do something. If I'm being made to do something, that means I wanted to do something else. If I'm being made to lie down, then there's a good chance that I probably wanted to be standing up. I probably wanted to be, well, if there's green pastures, I probably wanted to be eating. From a sheep's perspective, and it talks about the tender grass, and to a sheep, that's a buffet line, right? A beautiful green pasture, what does a sheep want to do? He wants to go eat. He doesn't want to lay down. You know, when I go to the old country buffet, they don't say, well, here's your table. Go ahead and have a nice sleep. Well, you can lay down on this table right here and make yourself comfortable. When I go to a buffet, I have one thing on my mind, and that's to get all $10 worth or as much as I can fit in my mouth and get it down. And I get myself in trouble sometimes, but laying down isn't on my mind when I'm about to eat. So I did a little more research here, and a sheep sleeps about 4 hours a day, not very much. But what they do when they're laying down is very important. Like we read earlier, a sheep will continue to eat until it makes itself sick. Sometimes it has to be made to rest. But the very interesting thing about a sheep is what's going on when they're laying down. It's not sleeping. They don't sleep very much. All right, for all of you that weren't raised on a farm or around animals, this may get a little gross to you, but a sheep is an animal that it's known as having four stomachs. Really, there's not four stomachs, it's one stomach with four compartments, but it's a sheep or a cow, they're similar in that manner. They chew their cud. All right, get ready. Chewing your cud. So they're out scrounging around, they're eating, grazing, and they get a stomach full of grass, and then it's time to lay down. So they lay down, and they need to chew it again. So they regurgitate it back up and break it back down some more and swallow it down again. And this process continues and continues. To us, it's disgusting, but to a sheep, it's pretty important. And the reason it's so important is because due to their complex digestive system, it's necessary for them to go through this constant process of chewing and redigesting and chewing to get all the nutrients out of the food that they eat. And for all the food that the sheep eats, for it to benefit at all, it has to go through this long digestive process of being broken down so that the nutrients will bring life to the sheep. Sometimes we go through a green pasture. We see some things that we like, things that appeal to us. You know, our senses are always being appealed to. Things are pulling at us. And sometimes it's good stuff. You know, sometimes it's things that it reaches to our soul. And sometimes it's like, well, you know, God, I think it's I think it's time to go eat over here. You know, look at this great, you know, great field you prepared for me here. He's like, no, you need to lay down. Right. Oh, hold on, God. You know, I really feel that this ministry is, you know, taking off. I need to go be used in this ministry over here. And, you know, let's see where this takes me. It looks great. No, you need to digest a little more. You need to break down some of those things where you're at, where I've put you, and relax. A sheep is relaxing when he's laying down and taking care of this digestive process. All right. So we're being forced to lay down when we want to eat. Next verse. Or I'm sorry, back to verse 2. He leads me beside still waters. All right. Second half of this. What do you want to do at still waters? You want to have a drink, especially if you've been walking. You know, this has been a long trail. We're moseying on down the road from one point to the other. I think it's time for a break. Hey, there's some nice, calm waters. Let's take a break. Let's just pull over here to the side of the road and enjoy some rest and relax, you know, get energized. But he leads me beside still waters. If you're being led, it means you're not sitting still. If you're being led by still waters, you're not partaking of those still waters. You're passing by. And what stuck out to me is if you're not willing to rest when he wants you to rest in the green pastures, you may not have a chance to rest later on. You know, sometimes the will of God is so contrary to our understanding and our minds, our wills. It's like it's backwards to our understanding. It doesn't make sense to us. But if you're not able to find rest in God in the times where he provides that for you, he says it's time to rest. It's time to plant and to thrive where you're at. But we're too busy off doing other things and taking part of things that we think are good, that look good to us. And then later on when we're weary, it's time for a break along the trail. But the Holy Ghost isn't stopping. No, we need to continue on. We need to move further. All right, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Back to the verse 1. God knows what we need. He knows the rest that we need. Everybody needs rest. It's very important for us to have rest from time to time. And we find that in him. And he knows exactly how much we can take, when too much is enough. But again, if you're not willing to be submitted to the shepherd, what you're saying is you're pulling yourself out of the flock if you're not willing to submit yourself to the shepherd. If you're not willing to follow after the shepherd in his voice and submit your will to his will, then you're really detaching yourself from the flock. And you're saying, well, you know, that's great, you guys go on over here, but I think this is really for me right now. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We read earlier about a sheep's vision, how their depth perception isn't very good. They rely on their vision and they're not comfortable going places where they don't see very well. So they don't like dark shadows. They don't like dark places. But here this verse is saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I'm facing fears, though I'm facing shadows in my life, though things are kind of overcrowding maybe the sunlight, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Again, this is a trust thing. It's going back to trusting the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I used to remember not realize that a rod and a staff were two separate things. A rod was really just a club. It's a stick for a shepherd to wield, to protect, to spank a sheep, but usually to defend, to beat off wolves or predators, anything that would would harm the sheep. And then the staff was a rod with a little crook in it. You've seen the symbols, the emblems. But the staff was meant to guide the sheep. So to keep it on course, keep it on the trail, and then also to pick it up when it gets somewhere it shouldn't be. Sometimes due to the depth perception shortcomings of a sheep, they'll fall into a hole or a pit, a place that's hard to reach. And so the shepherd can have a tool to reach down and pull them out. You know, our depth perception, I guess, spiritually can be a little skewed sometimes without the Holy Ghost. Our eyes will deceive us. Our eyes will lead us to places and things will look okay to our vision, to our naked eye. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost today and the promise of God to lead us. You know, he doesn't leave us to make our own decisions, to lead our own ways. He displays the path he has for us, and he tells us to follow him and to trust him. And he's also there to fish us out when we fall into a pit. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We read in verse 2 where we went through a great place to eat, but we weren't allowed to eat. We had to lay down and digest what we'd already been given. Then we see in verse 5, all of a sudden it's time to eat. Where are we eating? In the presence of mine enemies. Reading on sheep, a sheep isn't comfortable to eat where it feels threatened. In fact, a sheep won't eat at all if it feels that it's in imminent danger, if it's being threatened by, you know, something, or even just nervous. A nervous sheep just won't eat. But here it describes that even in the presence of our enemies, if God prepares a table, that means, again, we're trusting him to protect us. We're trusting him because he's with us. So even though we're surrounded by our enemies, we still have God. We're still in the presence of God, and his rod still comforts us. Even though we're surrounded by things that would trouble us and bring us stress, we're still at peace, and we can eat in the presence of our enemies. And in this situation, God gets glory. In a difficult situation that, you know, nobody else could explain it. You know, you can't take credit for it because you know it's not something that you could do or you had the ability to do, but only God could do that. And my cup runneth over. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, it connects back to verse 1. If we're dwelling in his flock, you know, God will lead us. He'll let the way out for us, and he'll show where we need to walk. He'll say, just follow me. But it's up to us whether or not we want to hear his voice and follow the shepherd. At any time, we can leave the flock. At any time, we can decide that what we want to do is going to be better for us. But if we're willing to dwell in his house, we're willing to submit ourselves to his will and say, God, you're my shepherd. You're my provider today. And this may not be making sense to me right now. I may not understand these things that I'm going through right now, but I trust you, Lord. And I submit to what you have for my life. That's being able to dwell, being able to stay. If you're dwelling somewhere, that means you're residing, you're living there. It's not just a, you know, one night stay at the Hotel 6. It's your dwelling place. It's where you're staying, and you're abiding in his house. It's important for the sheep to be around other sheep. And obviously, I'd be preaching to the choir because you're all here. Nevertheless, it's important to remember our importance to each other. A sheep off by itself, you know, loses sight of the other sheep. It becomes a lot easier pickings for predators. Sometimes that predator can be your own mind. It doesn't have to be outside influences further than yourself. But it's easy to stray from the flock a little bit. And God will always try to bring us back to him. He's always there with open arms. There's a story of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to search for the one. And I always thought about that growing up. Well, what about the 99 that he left behind? You know, he's leaving behind 99 sheep to go look for that one lost one that couldn't keep up with the rest of them and got himself lost. What about the 99? But I believe that the 99 were already in a safe place. I think that a shepherd wouldn't leave his other sheep just out to find their own way. I believe they were in a sanctuary, in a place of safety, so that he could leave those and go find the other one. See, God will reach for us. You know, he makes a way for us to come back to him, but he doesn't force that decision. It's always our decision. He'll open a door, he'll make a way, but it's really on us whether or not we want to follow and walk through that door. But I'm thankful for his opportunities that he leaves for us. Sometimes we can outthink ourselves. We can outthink God, and that's kind of a weird way to say it, but really it's outthinking ourselves by placing a higher level of importance, I guess, on our will. And I don't know if this is new to you or old to you, but it spoke to me, and I believe it's what the Lord would have me to speak tonight. And we're all important to the body. Never underestimate your importance to me. You are important. And regardless of what role you play in the body, you're important to the body. There's different parts of the body that aren't necessarily seen or appreciated necessarily as other parts, but I tell you go without a part of your body and you'll know it. You take out a part, an internal organ, might not be seen or heard from very often, but you go a couple days without a lung or a heart. You see what I'm saying? God places us together for a reason. He calls us to his purpose. But not only that, he joins us to a body. And it's our responsibility to stay within the body. Stay within the will. Keep submitting ourselves to God. Keep following after him, following after the shepherd, and trusting him. That even though if it doesn't make sense, even though if it even hurts, you know, it hurts us when our will has to be broken sometimes. You know, especially when we have something in our mind that we think is just the thing we need to be doing. But God's merciful. And he's faithful, and he'll always see us through. If we have a heart to search him, search after him, and follow him, he'll never lead us down the wrong path. Amen. Praise God.